Hello, this is Tim Reedy, and welcome to the America Magazine podcast for the week of August 18th through 25th. This week, we spoke to Professor Vladimir Shlepentok about his article, Power Player, The Reign of Vladimir Putin, which appeared in this issue. Professor Shlepentok is a professor of sociology at Michigan State University and was a founder of Soviet sociology. Since coming to the United States in 1979, he has published 24 books on Russian and American society. I spoke to Professor Shlepentok by phone.
Professor, maybe you can begin by just explaining to us, I mean, you have this long article for us about Vladimir Putin. So many Americans now are wondering what are the motivations behind some of his actions recently. Maybe you can lay out your argument for us.
You see, my major differences with most American analysts now is about Putin's motivation. Many experts try to understand Putin's behavior analyzing geopolitical plans of Russia, considering Putin as a defender of geopolitical goals of Russia. In my opinion, the major motivation of Putin is his desire to preserve his power as president of the Russian Federation as long as possible. In my opinion, almost any serious action in domestic policy and in foreign policy is determined by this goal. So for this reason, in order to understand current politics of Mr. Putin, as well as to predict his future action, we should not forget what is his major intention.
Yes, we're seeing here, for example, he's trying to see, there's a change in ideology here in terms of, you know, going back in history and talking about farther back in Russian history. So he seems to be changing his approach based upon, you know, what suits him at this moment.
Exactly. And for this reason, try to trust his explanation of seizure of Crimea, mostly because it is a restoration of historical justice, it is a nonsense. It is a nonsense. Of course, it is a historical background, is serious matter. But history, it seems to me, it is German Emperor Wilhelm II taught us that history is used in the beginning. You take something and then you look in history to justify this. Story with Crimea is exactly this case. Putin needs to foment xenophobic fury in Russia. And Crimea perfectly helped him. He was able to gain the support of 80% of the population, which support his policy in Ukraine and any other actions in foreign policy. This 80% is for him today a guarantee that he would be reappointed as the president of Russia for the next 6 years, maybe more, and so it is his obsession to stay in power as a president. And he, by the way, has serious reason to do this. Well, it is typical not only for him, but for probably any authoritarian leader. During his staying in power, his record accumulated many actions which has criminal character. And if he leaves the Kremlin, it is a very serious chance that he will be pursued by criminal justice, not only in Russia, but in other countries. So he has no other options but to stay in power as long as possible. It, by the way, is relevant also to the leader in Central Asia, in Kazakhstan, in Uzbekistan, in Turkmenistan. It is the fate of almost all authoritarian leaders. And Putin is not exception in this list. He has to stay in power. He has to support feelings in the country that he is a savior of Russia, savior in fighting domestic enemies and also foreign enemies. Inside the country, what his major task, which he accomplished rather successfully, eliminate almost completely opposition. In Russia, there is no oppositional politician today. He was able to recruit on his side almost the whole Russian intelligentsia, famous for her resistance to the power, political power. In foreign affair, he wants to take role of the collector of the Russian land, of the representative of the so-called the Russian world. It is a term which was introduced after March 2014. So on both flanks, in both areas, domestic and foreign, he comes up as the savior of his country. In the last meeting on August 14 in Yalta, in Crimea, into which he invited the leaders of the parliamentary factions, the speakers almost without restraint talk about necessity to make Putin emperor, to make Putin national leader, and demonstrate try to convince the public that Russia should be thankful forever to Putin for everything for he did recently. So such is his plan. Such his strategy. And I repeat, American and European analysts usually avoid this subject and try to look for some objective tendency which determine Putin's foreign policy with respect to Ukraine and with respect to other countries. Is it not so? In the person of Putin, we see authoritarian leader whose major goal is to keep his power. And for this reason, he became a quite dangerous personality. And now we can appreciate again what means democracy, importance of democracy in foreign relations. Democracy makes the government more or less transparent. Democracy takes into account public opinion and the position of public opinion in foreign affairs. In Russia today, Putin is totally unrestrained politician. There is no political institutions which even remotely can control Putin. Putin is free to do what he wants. And now with his attempt to sustain some sort of agitation and patriotic frenzy in the country, he is in some way dangerous for the world. Dangerous also because he is absolutely confident that the West will not react military or other way to his aggressive actions. And having this understanding this, being confident in this weakness of the West, he can make dangerous deeds. Of course, he's not absolutely crazy. And now we see how he controls himself in some way in the East Ukraine. But still, being non-restrained by political institution inside the country, being not controlled by public opinion in his country, he is a loose cannon which can be dangerous. And here is important fact in contemporary world.
Yeah. Now, in terms of public opinion, I was surprised from your article how much support he had, including among people like Mikhail Gorbachev for the invasion of Crimea. You know, the bombing of the plane, which obviously they are not taking responsibility for, but has that shifted public opinion at all in Russia? Or?
Well, public opinion in any country, even in the United States, is very much influenced by media. But in democratic society, you have different outlets, different sort of media. You have Wall Street Journal, you have New York Times, you have Fox, you have CNN, and so. In Russia, public opinion is totally controlled by governmental TV. And it can change, it can manipulate with public opinion quite easily. Human mind has some mean feelings and noble feelings. Public media can support noble feelings, like in America, the fight against discrimination, against violation of human rights, and you can also stimulate racism, anti-Semitism, any sort of mean feelings. Public media in Russia, it foment mean feelings, xenophobia, hatred of the United States, hatred of the West, and this is exploited by Putin very deftly.
Now, in terms of how to deal with Putin going forward, if he is such a dangerous figure and, you know, he has this one focus on staying in power, how do foreign leaders approach him from a diplomatic perspective?
It is not easy problem. Look, I don't know if you know that Putin kept President Obama waiting for him, I don't remember in what place, almost 1 hour being late for the meeting. You know about this case?
Yes.
You know, before he kept waiting Secretary of State and Defense Secretary more than 1 hour. They even call Bush asking what to do. So he feels himself absolutely not under control of any forces. It is impossible to imagine that Soviet leader Brezhnev or even probably Khrushchev could behave in such insolent way. Putin do it. And for this reason, he is indeed a leader with whom you should be extremely cautious. He is the next to North Korean leader, whose intention is always enigma, and the Western government tried to guess the intention of North Korean leader. Now Putin join this list of such a leader. By the way, neither of China nor of Iran belongs to this group of leaders. They are more or less predictable. Putin and North Korean leader, not. And it is an important factor which foreign government should take into account. How to behave with Putin? It is a very difficult question. But in no way Putin should understand the unity of the West in the opposition to his aggressive policy. How to do this? How to coordinate Western powers who have economic interests and who don't want to increase their military budget, who should take into account the peaceful mood of the population? Very difficult question. It has no easy answer.
Now, obviously, you follow very closely the Russian media, and I assume you have people, friends you know there. I mean, do you keep in touch with them? Do they give you some sense of, I mean, how do you kind of try to keep involved in what's going on inside of Russia?
Inside Russia, as a matter of fact, it was a great amazement for me. Even if I study public opinion in Russia 40 years, Putin was able to create such an atmosphere of xenophobia, of jingoism, which I couldn't expect. Even my good friends, quite educated people, totally support Crimea, Putin's Crimea adventure. Even they believe that America is guilty for all evil, for all problems which Russia has. Even they believe that Ukrainian events, it is a product of the American policy. Even they believe that America wants the destruction of the Russian. It is an unbelievable change in the mood of the Russian population. Of course, not 100% share this point of view. Some people continue to reason soberly, reasonably, and make a right decision and have a normal, reasonable perception of what is going on. But psychological situation in Russia is unbelievably amazing, new, unprecedented. Living in Stalin's times, in post-Stalin time, I never saw such a loss of rationality in the perception of the world by the majority of people as now. Today I read in one Russian outlet, which remained to be relatively open, that Russia is sick. It is for sociologists, is a very bad word. It is something which sociologists should not use, such a definition. How a nation can be sick? It is strange. You should find out explanation which makes sense of this situation. But it is true. Despite the fact that 20 years Russia live in relatively open society. 20 years. 20 years that Russians had quite positive attitudes towards the West and towards the United States in particular. And now, suddenly, such a drastic turn in mind. I am sure that historians, sociologists will study what happened in the Russian public mind in 2014. It is very strange. Only one force can change the situation probably. It is the oil price. But hardly we will see drastic decline of oil price in next years. Otherwise, Putin feels himself confident. Putin has no opposition. Putin has really support of the majority of the population. What give him leeway for very different actions and adventurous action including. And it's not without reason that the Baltic republics are jittering, the Poland is jittering, nervous, because you can expect from Putin very different actions.
Well, thank you for helping to explain that to our readers. I think it really is insightful. So, Professor, we want to thank you for your time.
Thank you very much.